Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, all you yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Indeedy.
Yeah. Better weekend.
Well, some. Maybe some not.
Okay.
But it's a new year.
That it is.
Been that way for, 17, 18 days now.
Something like that.
What's the date? I have no idea.
It's that day.
Alrighty, I think we need to go on with the show.
Okay. Well, let's start off with Twitter followers.
Alrighty.
So we've got Laura Pittman, Jasmine Lee, Harriet T, Rosie N, Irene, lots of stars, Cynthia Sin, Selfish Romance Book, Kimberly Pinkington, and Heathen Mother.
That's cool. We love reading off all our Twitter followers.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, except, you know, I'm not a Twitter person.
You don't
person,
even know
so. I'm like so anti
social
thing. No. Well,
yes.
Well, it depends. But I'm just like anti, you know, computer, I guess.
Pretty much.
I know how to Google search.
Yeah. And you can play games.
Yeah, but I don't do that very often either.
Anyways,
that's boring. Let's move.
So let's start off with a Potter update.
Didn't we do a Potter update last time?
Yeah, but they seem to be popping up lately.
Yeah, it was bound to happen.
Yeah, especially with this guy.
Oh, okay.
We've talked about him several times on the show.
Have we?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and we have to go way back to August, to episode 15, when we had a very prestigious Potter Award winner.
Okay.
I also had a very nice discussion with him about him with Tom Essel on episode 20.5.
Okay.
Which is one of my interview episodes.
So you'll have to refresh.
Well, I suggest they just go listen to those episodes because there's too much to refresh. Anyway, I'm going to refresh you anyway.
Well, I was going to say, I have like no memory.
Yeah, I know. So that would be Springfield City Council Member Justin Burnett.
It's always Springfield County in Missouri. Have you noticed this? They've been very popular lately.
So there's a bunch of crazies there. and he is the engineer of the resolution that outlawed side boob in public.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Remember Free the Nipple campaign?
Yeah, and all that stuff? I remember that.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, he made his way back into the news this week.
Okay.
Because on January 14th, he submitted his resignation to the council, citing health concerns.
Okay.
So, he was not only working on the council, but he was also attending college.
Uh-huh.
So, I get it. That's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of hours to put in.
Right.
He said that the extra pressure of social media, coupled with his obligations, was damaging his health.
So he was going to resign and just focus on a few things versus a ton.
He was going to focus on college, and he was saying that maybe politics wasn't the best choice for him.
Okay.
So Katie Webb, member of the group called Remove Justin Burnett from City Council, said, "I never doubted his heart was in the right place. I do believe that Justin always had good intentions. I feel he was in over his head and didn't understand the larger issues. There were quite a few happy people in Springfield."
Uh-huh.
Right. However, their happiness was very, very, very short-lived.
Okay.
Less than 24 hours later, he rescinded his resignation.
So he's back on.
He's back on the council.
So he just had a bad day.
Yeah, basically. and this is his statement. "I have decided to rescind my resignation and will be taking a break from college instead in order to focus on my health and priorities in Zone 2. The community response to my resignation was overwhelmingly positive, and I vow to use this opportunity to seek peace between both sides of the issues going forward, especially with those that have had disagreements with some of my viewpoints in the past. I want to attempt to bridge that."
So he's not quitting, but he is going to quit school instead and focus on politics instead of college.
Yes.
Because we don't want a politician to be educated, correct?
Correct.
All righty then.
Now, I did talk with Tom Essel, one of my friends in Springfield.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him what he thought, because he was the guy to talk to last time about Justin Burnett.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I hope he is serious about building bridges instead of just offering empty rhetoric and platitudes. He also added, if Burnett is willing to compromise and really work through the issues, I see no reason why the liberals of Springfield shouldn't meet him halfway. Like or not, governing is about compromise, not convictions.
Right.
So, I'm not really surprised.
No.
Well, yeah, I am surprised that he rescinded his resignation. I really am.
Yeah, you usually don't
make that. Not 24 hours later.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You don't usually make that kind of a claim just to come back the next day. Because it does kind of sound like, well, you had a bad day. And...
But it doesn't surprise me that he's foregoing college.
Oh, you really?
Remember, he's ACE educated.
ACE educated?
Yeah. Accelerated Christian education.
Ah, okay,
He's Christian homeschool.
Is college too hard?
Apparently. I don't know.
Because it's not like homeschool at all.
I know he's got all his history wrong.
But come on. You don't quit, you know, education. I mean...
There is speculation.
I mean, not basically foregoing college to stick with the politics instead. Because you, especially in a position like that, you need all the knowledge you can get.
Well, apparently not.
Well, I disagree.
Anyways. So I'm still going to keep an eye on this guy because I have a feeling there's much more to come from him.
Yeah.
So next story.
Yes, let's move on.
So Religious Freedom Day.
Religious Freedom Day. Yes, that is correct.
January 16th was Religious Freedom Day as proclaimed by the president in his annual proclamation. That's a lot of proclaiming.
Yeah, that's hard for you.
Yes, it is. I don't proclaim very often.
You just can't speak.
Each year, the president declares January 16th to be Religious Freedom Day and calls upon Americans to observe this day through appropriate events and activities in homes, schools, places of worship. The day is an anniversary of the passage of the 1786 Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. We encourage schools to recognize Religious Freedom Day during the school week leading up to January 16th. So the goal of Religious Freedom Day is to promote and protect students' religious expression rights by informing educators and parents and students of these liberties.
And I can't say as I've ever heard our kids come home mentioning this mentioned in school.
No, they never mention Religious Freedom Day.
I don't know. And I'm... Sure, they're not mentioning it in any of the religious schools as well.
Right.
I mean, Freedom Day? What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
Christian Freedom Day is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also the 230th anniversary.
Yeah, this year is.
Yeah, so that's, you know, a little knowledge in history that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people also don't know it was written by Thomas Jefferson and is the basis for our First Amendment.
Which makes complete and total sense, and I think kind of sounds important.
Yeah, which I'll read part of it.
All righty.
Hopefully I don't screw it up too bad.
Yeah, and enunciate.
Be it enacted by the General Assembly.
You killed it already.
That no man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship, place, or ministry whatsoever, nor shall be enforced, restrained, molested, or burthened in his body or goods, nor shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief. But that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in the matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities.
Yes, and that's why I say, it affected the First Amendment. It's kind of big.
Yeah.
I mean, and I honestly can say I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
You know, before we found it.
Well, I know about it every year.
Oh, right, and then you just happens. I was saying, right. And then what, it slips your mind?
Yeah, and then it's, oh, well, I'll remember that on January 10th of next year.
16th.
I know, but I start remembering around the 10th.
Oh, okay.
When it starts showing up in my feed.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you start seeing it show up.
No, because I'm going to put a Google Calendar update.
Are you now?
Yeah. Get ahead of it.
Okay.
So that way I'll eventually remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show, even back then, they had the right idea.
Yeah.
So why can't today we figure this out?
Yeah, our founding fathers absolutely had it right.
Yeah. And it's amazing how today it's like going ass backwards.
It is.
I mean.
It's completely ridiculous. We've got churches getting tons and tons of power. Religious organizations that are just, I don't even know how to describe what's going on.
And if I hear one more time about how this country was founded on a Christian blah, 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 blah. I think I'm going to puke.
Well, maybe.
Because, I mean, that's all I ever hear. It's just exhausting. And yet, back then, when, you know, it was religious, they still knew the whole point was to keep state and religion separate.
Right.
You know, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
It was a no-brainer. And for some reason, we're going, I don't know even if I can say backwards.
Yeah.
Because they started it off correctly, and we're going, I don't know, it's like we're jumping back to trying to get to the Dark Ages.
Well, we are making,
run everything.
We are making progress, right?
Little
but it doesn't seem like it because every step we make, we have to deal with them.
Two steps forward, three steps back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and if, you know, it seems like we're making progress, it just seems like you're, you know, trying to climb out of quicksand. It's really slow going process, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And some of us aren't very patient.
No, some of us are not.
No, not at all.
This is Matthew the Apostle. If you need a quick update on the black collar crime from around the world, tune in to In the Name of God, the podcast, where I'll run down the most obscure news stories of those proclaiming a faith in God. That's In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news as reported by the Atheist Apostle. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from the Secular Outreach Network at secularoutreach.com.
Next story, please.
I think I got something you might enjoy.
All righty.
I've called this one computer magic.
All right.
Joey Talley, an ordained Wiccan witch, now has a way to remove viruses from computers.
Okay.
It is a form of exorcism.
For the computer?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. She uses magic to remove computer viruses.
Okay.
To exorcise such entities out of a machine, she uses a variety of techniques.
Mm-hmm.
She might place stones on the top of a computer, clear the dark energy by setting an intention with her mind, or cleanse the area around the computer by burning sage. Because it's what I want around my computer.
Yeah.
Fumes from sage and smoke.
On the computer.
Near the computer, in the area. I don't know.
I could pick a better scent.
She says, sometimes it takes an hour, other times it can take up to 4, depending on how bad the virus is.
I was going to say, and this takes out a computer virus?
Yes, computer viruses.
Because we don't have any other way to do that.
Well, she said she's been very effective.
Yeah.
Okay. She's never had a failure.
Okay, this totally reminds me of the lady who made the clouds go away, or the lady who could send away the tornado somewhere else.
Right. I'm fairly certain that most of these computers probably have some sort of antivirus on them.
No, they don't.
It's just coincidental. However,
gosh, people are weird.
When asked how she responds to those who question her methods, she says that before they can question her methods, they have to read a book.
Oh.
That is, quote, a reference on the practice and philosophies of witchcraft and a guide to the life-affirming ways in which readers can turn to the goddess to deepen their sense of personal pride.
So they have to read this first.
They have to read this first. Then they can question her motives and her abilities.
Okay.
So basically, I read that as you can't question Christianity unless you've read the Bible.
It's the same concept.
What I'm seeing out of this, right?
Yeah. Gosh, it is amazing how bizarre people can be.
Right.
Because, you know, I can set incense next to my computer and you'd see all kinds of stuff that goes away.
Well, probably me.
I have no words.
Well, since we have no words, let's do another one.
Alrighty.
This one hits a little closer to home for us.
Okay.
An atheist has filed a lawsuit against Congress and the Treasury Department to remove In God We Trust from American money. We've talked about this.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So Michael Newdow, who is doing the lawsuit, has said, by placing In God We Trust on the nation's coins and currency bills, defendants have substantially...
Come on, you can do it.
Substantially burdened plaintiffs in the exercise of their atheistic and similar beliefs by requiring them, as the price to pay for using the nation's coins and currency bills, to personally bear a religious message that is the antithesis of what they consider to be religious truth.
In translation?
Basically, forcing people who don't believe in a particular God,
mm-hmm.
or in any god.
Right.
Forcing them to use currency that has such a message on it is a violation of their religious freedom.
I agree.
And basically, it's what I call endorsement by proxy.
Right.
So I have to use this. I don't want to use this, but because I'm using it, I am endorsing its message.
Right. And no, I completely agree. I mean, it never was originally on there till what, 56 anyways.
Right.
It should have never been put on there in the first place.
I agree.
And it's time that it goes away.
Right. Well, his reasoning is based on the Hobby Lobby case from a couple of years ago that used the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to say that they don't have to provide birth control to their employees.
Right.
Or they don't even have birth control benefits.
Right.
And which they won that case. The case itself says, by inscribing "In God We Trust" on the National's coins and currency, the defendants are making the religious claim that there, one, is a God, and two, people of this nation do and should trust in that God.
Right. And, you know, this entire country, whether you don't believe in a God at all, there's other people in this country who do believe in a God, and it does not mean that it's the same one you do, so nobody should have to believe in one particular belief, which, again, I don't even see why this is a conversation, because separation, church and state, end of subject.
Right.
I mean, it's just insane that we're having to fight something that we shouldn't have even had to fight in the first place.
I agree.
I mean, I just get so frustrated with it. It's like, to me, it's so black and white. What's the problem?
Well, someone thought it would be funny to ask God.
Okay.
And luckily, there's a God on Facebook.
Of course there is.
Yes. He also has a Twitter account and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, of course it's he does.
Good stuff.
Of course he does.
Atheists are fighting to remove the words "In God We Trust" from American currency. How does God feel about that? God responds like this. "Hi, human. I feel great about it. Never wanted to be put on money. Money is filthy. Some say the love of money is the root of all evil. I agree. Plus, it's a lot of pressure, you know. It's like Americans put all this pressure on me to bless their country. Then they trust me to keep the economy from collapsing. When are they going to take some personal responsibility for their country? I'm busy making babies, judging the quick, dead, and smiting. I don't have time for this shit."
See, God's got the idea.
Yeah. Seriously. He doesn't have time.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No. That is not allowed. I got bronchitis.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, best of luck to Michael Newdow in his case. I will definitely be following that one.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how that goes.
Well, I'm hoping. Well, I know exactly how it's going to go. It's going to, so it's in the district courts, the federal district court. It's going to get through that, and they're going to say no to him.
Uh-huh.
That either he has no standing or there's no merit to the case, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's going to appeal.
You think it'll go that way?
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it'll go that way.
Yeah.
And he's going to appeal in every single district.
As he should.
And he's going to get it to the Supreme Court. It will go there eventually.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we have a couple years.
Right.
Which is why electing the current president, or electing a new president that will be in favor of Supreme Court justices that will rule nicely on this,
uh-huh,
is a better idea.
Yeah, I definitely would like to see how this goes, because that would be pretty huge if you could actually make that change.
Yeah.
I mean, it really will be gosh, can you imagine how many people are going to be bitching about it?
Oh, they're already bitching about it.
It hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're just completely going insane just because he's doing the lawsuit. They're calling it frivolous.
Oh, God, wine what again. What a waste,
right?
Woe is me.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's move on to something happy.
All righty.
In Colombia, police officer Luisa Fernanda Urrea is being hailed as a hero after she saved the life of an abandoned baby using nothing but quick thinking, compassion, and her breast.
You don't hear that every day in a story.
She was called to the scene after a newborn girl was discovered in the woods, crying in the undergrowth, and part of her umbilical cord still attached. The girl was starving and at risk of hypothermia after being exposed. So Urrea swallowed her, and as luck would have it, she was a new mother.
So she was already breastfeeding a child of her own.
So she generously breastfed the baby from her own milk, saving her life.
I would have done the same thing. I would have thought not to.
Yeah.
I mean, you find a baby that was obviously just born.
Right.
That is in the woods this time of year, obviously is on, you know, thin ice for survival. You know, it's real touch and go kind of thing. Of course you would do that, or at least I would think so.
So she told the local news, I'm a new mother and I have milk, and I recognize the needs of this poor little creature I had. I think any woman had given her nourishment in the same circumstances.
You would think so, but it kind of makes you wonder.
It does.
You know, if who, you know, if you're put in that position, would you have done it?
Right.
I mean, you would hope so.
You would hope that the majority of the population would.
Right. I mean, it's, I think it's fantastic. And I honestly, I wouldn't have thought any different.
No.
I mean, and not for myself anyways. I couldn't actually imagine finding a baby in the woods, let alone a baby that was just born. So obviously the mother had the child and just left it.
Right.
Walk. How the hell can you do that, by the way?
I don't know. That's a completely.
I can't understand carrying a child for 9 months and then you just have the baby and leave it there and walk away. How do you even just walk away? Even if it's not even, I mean, I couldn't even walk away from a child that wasn't even my own.
I know.
That's just crazy.
Anyway. Big, huge kudos to Officer Urea.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
This week, we go to the home of the atomic bomb.
Okay.
So, and that would be Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Yes.
And Mayor Warren Gooch.
Gooch?
Gooch, that's his name.
That's a hell of a name.
On January 11th, Alida Leadendecker gave an invocation to the Oak Ridge, Tennessee City Council, which included a surprise ending.
Good evening, Happy New Year, and welcome to the January meeting of the Oak Ridge City Council. Our invocation tonight will be led by Ms. Alida Leadendecker, and the Pledge of Allegiance will follow, led by Mr. Chuck Hope.
Good evening, Council of Oak Ridge. As I solemnize these proceedings, I want to acknowledge the service of the council members and share appreciation for their willingness to be a part of the governmental process. We owe a debt of gratitude to those who take on the burden of public office. So thank you for your service to the citizens of Oak Ridge. Now let us not bow our heads, but hold them high with eyes open so that we may keep them focused on the issues facing Oak Ridge in order that they may be considered with reason and compassion. When this body comes together to govern, they do so with the consent of the citizens of Oak Ridge. Oak Ridge is a very diverse community with many different views and opinions. I urge members of the City Council to face the future and their civic duties with full recognition of their responsibilities to all the citizens of Oak Ridge. I urge you to maintain our trust that you will recognize and serve equally the growing diversity of your constituents with favoritism toward none. Realize that this growing diversity encompasses not only many religions, but a growing contingent of those who have no religious affiliation, the nuns. This community is made stronger by the diversity within it. Over 200 years ago, our Constitution established a principle of inclusion as a shining example for the rest of the world, which has contributed to the astonishing success of our nation. When we forget or ignore it, we turn our backs on the wisdom of the founding fathers and tarnish their legacy, weakening our society in the process. It is incumbent upon this council to make the best decisions for the community, the entire community. In this regard, I ask that you use reason,
wisdom, and empathy in your deliberations today, taking into account the implications your decisions will have now and into the future. As this new year begins, remember that in honor of separation of church and state, no deities need to nor should be invoked at the openings of your meetings. Doing so gives the appearance, if not actual, governmental preference to one group of citizens over others. The council is a civic body, not a religious one, so should recognize that secular authority in government is not only sufficient, but preferable. James Madison, founding father
and fourth.
He actually cut her off?
He actually cut her off, yeah. Just so you know, the standard time given for invocations is 3 minutes.
Which she wasn't even near.
She went 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
Actually, that also included when they were talking.
Well, no, that's just her time.
At the very beginning.
Just her time
but
was 2:32.
Yeah, he actually cut her off.
Yeah, he did.
Which, not allowed?
Yeah, not allowed.
No.
No, because that's restricting her rights.
For free speech.
Yeah, it's discriminatory because I did some searching to see if they had cut anybody else off at any time. Uh-huh. I couldn't find one.
Oh, and I see you also have that he actually walked out.
Oh, no, we're not done with this.
Oh, really?
No, he didn't walk out.
Oh, okay.
But that's just part of the whole overall story.
Oh, okay.
But another council member, Rick Chen Jr., actually did walk out.
So one cut her off and one walked out.
Right. He said, I didn't appreciate what she was saying.
So what?
In my opinion, this country was founded on Christian principles. Ugh. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Give me a break.
Another council member, Trina Bon, did not even attend the invocation, which is her right. She's allowed not to attend the invocation.
Okay.
And she said that she suspected the comments she was going to make were going to be an affront to my own beliefs. So she's not even willing to listen to another side.
Are you kidding me? What the hell do we have to listen to all the damn time?
And the clerk said that she had taken up her allotted time of 3 minutes.
Which we've already proven.
Yeah, it was not true.
It's not true.
So I thought, during my search of the history of invocations to see if they would cut other people off, I found something very surprising, which earned the mayor his Potter Award.
Okay.
There's some issues that go into this. So she was notified that very morning, literally that morning,
that
she was given the invocation.
So it's just like, surprise.
Yeah. Hi, you're right. That doesn't happen. You don't do that to invocators.
No.
Right. Because they can't always show up.
I was going to say, you usually schedule that well in advance, as you know personally.
Yeah. And oddly enough, there is a regular occurrence of invited invocators not showing up.
Because he tells them like the day of.
I can't guarantee that. But
there's
enough
correlation
that I may be able to draw that conclusion.
Right.
Because whenever someone does not show up, guess who gives the invocation?
Surprise, surprise.
The mayor.
Yeah, there we go.
So not only does he give the invocation, gives a very, very Christian invocation.
Well, I was going to say that's very convenient of himself to give himself to invocation. And yet on the same side, it's freaking illegal.
So here's something that I found interesting. When he did, every time he called out a name and they weren't there, he gave them about 3 seconds to respond and said, well, I guess I'll do it.
Seriously. But he can't do an invocation anyways.
No, he can't.
So it doesn't flippin' matter if they show up or not.
Right. According to the SCOTUS decision, Greece versus Galloway, and another decision sometime before that having the counselors give invocations gives the impression of an endorsement of a religion.
Oh, you don't say.
And that invocations are to be aimed at the council, not the people. And having a counselor do that, even the mayor, breaks that rule.
Boy, is he arrogant.
Yeah. And this happened no less than 4 times in
2014. Huh. So, once again, someone with a history.
Yeah. Got a history of doing stuff like this. And that's why he's the Potter Award winner, because I think he's doing this intentionally.
Very Potterish.
Yes, very, very Potterish. Just so he can get his Christian message out. Cuts off an invocator.
But he's taking rights away from people. He's also, by giving invocations himself, is committing crime.
Right.
I mean, he's breaking a law. And he's flipping rude.
That was very rude.
Yeah.
Because as an invocator, I know...
That would have ticked me off, and I don't even do invocations. Well, I just watch you.
As an invocator, I know the time limits, and you plan your speeches.
Of course you do.
Specifically to hit that 250, 255 mark. You don't want to go over, but you don't want to be too far under.
Right.
So I think it's very...
So usually about 2.5 seems to be the average.
Well, most of mine have always run right at, right within seconds.
Oh, okay.
I give myself 5 seconds. Yeah. Just in case I have an extra pause or something in there.
Yeah. But
you're going to go right to the line because you want to get your whole message out.
Yeah. I remember, as a matter of fact, the invocation that you did that helped us to come up with this Potter Award, which is how we discovered this, was because one particular council member, not only you mentioned how he looked like Potter, but he fits the bill for the characteristic of Potter. Right. So it was just like a perfect match.
Yeah he wasn't happy with my invocation.
You came up with the fact that he looked like Potter, and I thought he
acted like Potter.
Yeah, jerk like Potter. Yeah. And because I watched him the whole time you did your invocation, and he was definitely Potterish is what I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't see him because they had me facing the audience, which is
Yeah, I watched him.
Yeah, which is the wrong way for me to face.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be addressing...
You're supposed to be addressing the council.
Yeah, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I watched his face. It was very interesting.
Yeah, I have a feeling that this guy's very similar.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. But I can't believe not only did they cut her off, but they also walked out of the room. Oh, yeah. I mean...
That's just super
grow
rude.
Up.
I know.
I'm sorry. That is so flippin' immature. They sit there and whine when they have to listen to something secular. But my God, I swear, in our everyday lives, that's all we hear is the Christian blah, blah, blah.
I know.
And you don't see us acting like children and walking out and pouting.
No, not normally.
We might bitch later on, but, you know, we're not just going to walk out because we disagree with somebody.
I know.
God, if that was the case, I would never walk anywhere. Anyways.
And I think that's all the yakking we're going to have for you today.
Yeah, I'll just yell yak next week.
That's right. We'll see you next week.
This show is a member of the Secular Outreach Network, an affiliation of Secular Media Producers. Learn more at secularoutreach.com.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.